Hello friends, this is greetings for 2019 from a beautiful garden that I found not far from downtown Houston. It's a 60-acre property is what I would call a thin place, if you're familiar with that concept. If not, that was a concept that the old Celtic Christians used to have. And they used to say this, that the gap between heaven and earth, between God and people, is only ever a few feet thick, but in some places it's paper thin. And there are places where it just feels you can stumble into the spiritual more easily, where you can encounter God more easily, where you can get clarity of thought, revelation and insight and peace more quickly. And so anyway, I'm here just beginning the new year with some time here. And I've been pretty quiet over the last 2 years. Those who used to perhaps follow my blogs will know that I haven't written anything for 2 years. Last was this time in 2017. And just a quick update on my journey. I reached a point in early 2017 where I felt like I'd hit a bit of a ceiling, not only in my spiritual walk and my connection with God, and I felt it was great, but I needed to go deeper. I was hitting a barrier, but I also started feeling a bit of a frustration around my purpose and my impact. Maybe you could call that midlife crisis stuff, but so it kind of put me on a bit of a quest to cut through what's really important, and it was a beautiful journey. But a couple of months later, I discovered a method or a discipline, in essence Christian meditation, that's been absolutely transformative. It's been the greatest, best thing that's happened in terms of my inner disciplines and faith for the last 25-30 years. And I want to share with you today what some of those transformations have been that I've experienced. But the point of this video really is to say that I went quiet for about 2 years because I was so transfixed by this. I was just learning so much. I was enjoying it so much. But I felt like I was a kid. And so I didn't feel like I had very much to say. But now, with a group of friends, we're going to begin a weekly Saturday morning time where I'm going to share what I've learned, 15-minute brief teaching, and then we're going to practice this meditation together, and then we'll have 20 minutes of Q&A. And we're going to record the sessions, and I'll be posting them. And so, in a sense, if you're interested in it, come along, listen to some of them. And they'll be available on my website, robgerhardt.com. And so what is it that I've discovered? What is this method or discipline? Well, it's basically what the Bible refers to as silent waiting on God. Thoroughly biblical concept, the spiritual activity of waiting is the second most used word in the book of Psalms. So it's a very important discipline, and the concept of doing that in silence without mental activity is also a thoroughly biblical concept. So suffice it to say, I haven't kind of gone off the rails with this, but what is fascinating is that it's so different from what's it's not something that's been front and foremost, certainly in the circles that I've rolled, the Protestant, evangelical, charismatic circles. It's not different from moments of what you get with what some call soaking. It's not different from moments of what you get in deep worship. It's also not different from let's say you're walking through a beautiful garden like this and you're quite attentive to God and you're not allowing your mind to be distracted and you're suddenly struck by the beauty of a flower and you stop and you just come into awe of God. It's not different from that. It is in fact that. But those things haven't often been put forward as a daily discipline, as something that you desperately need. And so really that's what I'm going to be talking about. And I just want to say, as I do this on Saturday mornings, I'm going to try and find a balance in the language, in the ways of explaining, between those, something that a Christian who's been around Christianity for a long time will understand, and something that somebody who arrives on day one can understand. Because I know there's a lot of folks in the latter category that don't know Christ, that perhaps have pretty suspicious thoughts of what has been portrayed to them as what God is like, and they don't really like that, but that are interested in meditation, in the practical benefits of it, but also are probably deep down inside quite interested in spiritual things and experiencing God, but not if he's that angry, gray-bearded man with a big stick that has so often been portrayed about him. And so so I'm going to try and find a little bit of a balance of language there. So let me share maybe 8 or 9 points on how this has been transformative for me. And for some of these, there's academic research in these things. And I'm going to move in the benefits from things that are quite scientific and objective through to things that are, you might say, are quite subjective, like personal spiritual experiences. So number one benefit is there's a significant neurological benefit to meditation. There's heaps of research on that. It makes the brain healthier. How? Well, just very briefly, we won't get into this too much, but your brain can be in two states, beta mode or alpha mode, described by the type of brainwave they emit. Beta mode is heavy prefrontal cortex, cognitive thinking. It's where the Western brain, or in fact the modern brain, is probably for almost every part of the waking hour, when we're at work, making decisions, worrying. And what neuroscience shows is that when the brain spends too much time in the beta state, neuroplasticity decreases. So your brain's ability to grow and adapt and change decreases with too much beta. And so you need some alpha mode time, and that's basically what you get when you meditate. It's also what you get. It's what you get when you give your brain a break, which is what meditation is. Brain, slow down. But it's also what you get, for example, if you just sit listening to beautiful music, enraptured by it, or you look at some art and you don't try to analyze it cognitively, just feel the beauty of it. And so that's alpha mode. Our brains desperately need alpha mode. Another way of saying it is God made our brains to pray. And really, this is the true prayer. This is the true essence of prayer. The true essence of prayer is not kind of rambling a religious ritual or going through a list, because true prayer was always meant to come from the heart, not from the mind, because it's with the heart that we connect to God. It's our hearts, which Christians call our spirits, that connect with the Holy Spirit of God. And so true prayer is in fact meditation. It's when the heart is active. The second benefit is less anxiety and better sleep. Research shows that too much time spent in beta mode causes higher anxiety, greater aggression, and addictive behavior and rut-like thinking in the extreme. But in general, lots of time spent analytically, cognitively processing without rest for the brain increases anxiety, it increases stress. And so meditation, especially this form of meditation, reduces anxiety. I've found my sleep's improved dramatically as a result. I fall asleep very quickly. I'm able to let go of the day very quickly, and it's one of the beautiful benefits. Third benefit, and again, this is, these ones are something I've experienced, but also that many speak of from meditation, is greater clarity in thinking, just a sharper, clearer brain, better decision making, and less stress from events of change. You know, I'm a businessman, and kind of something happens, just less, hits me less, you know, when something unexpected or difficult occurs. The fourth one is more creativity, just more lateral ideas, more exciting, wow, why didn't I think of that type stuff? And that's one of the thing the Silicon Valley CEOs talk about when they, many of them do an hour to 2 hours of meditation every day before starting work, is just that creativity. One of the big benefits for me is that I've been able to let go of things more easily. I've just been able to let go. So people who hurt me, maybe a stupid mistake that I make, where in the past I'd kind of just, oh, you idiot, why did you do that? Let's say an investment decision where I do a trade and I lose some money on a trade. I'm just able to let it go. Somebody hurts me, just able to let it go. A challenging, difficult situation that seems unfair, just able to accept it. A difficulty, just, yeah, okay, that's cool. Let's take that on. And I find that not just in the longer term, like an hour or two later, but almost instantly, that in what, I don't know if you've ever had a sticky interaction with someone where perhaps you're in an argument and just not letting go, it's just going on and on. I've found almost instantly I can just, you know, let something go. And so that's been a great benefit. Here's another one that's interesting, and that is significant physical benefits, even healing. In meditation, I've been able to dispatch with pains in my body, like headaches, even things like diarrhea, interestingly. Like I once had a stomach bug, and then just in that time of meditation, I just focused on that area that was troublesome, and almost just like applied God's presence to it, and suddenly no more stomach bug, you know, which is pretty objective. But I used to get dehydration headaches from playing soccer, and would be able to, now can deal with those in 5 minutes. Just again, same method. I found more physical energy. Not only, I used to get so tired during the working day, for whatever reason, whether it's the brain or whatever it is, I've just got a lot more energy, emotional energy, physical energy. But I tell you what, I've objectively, I don't know if my teammates will say this, but I've objectively become a better soccer player and volleyball player. So I've found an improvement in skill. And again, I think there's a bunch of reasons why that is. I'll tell you one fascinating one, is that I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro recently, and actually about a year ago. And here's a fascinating thing. I was walking with a group of people, and I was carefully monitoring my heart rate walking with that group of people. And then I decided to get into this meditational state, which just for Christian terms is getting into the spirit, but slowing the mind up. And over about 15 minutes, what I found is that without my heart rate increasing, so with the same heart rate, I was walking significantly faster than that group of people that I had been walking with. And so I'm convinced there's just some link, which I don't fully understand, but anyway, certainly an improvement in physical performance. And so those things I've just rattled off, those seven benefits, those are pretty, you know, objective. Some of them maybe you might say subjective a little bit. There's a ton of research on many of those, but let me talk about some of the really subjective ones. And that is that I've discovered and gotten to know God much more deeply, in a much realer way. For me, faith is now almost obvious and stronger in certain areas. I find when I read the Bible or hear it read, I just have greater insight and revelation that strikes me more. I often find I just know what the right thing is to do. Guidance, wisdom, you know, there's more of that. I think wisdom is really infused guidance, in the sense that wisdom is guidance from God, an intuition to know what to do that comes from within you, that subtly, it's not like it's come from the outside through like a prophetic word or something like that. It just seems obvious, but you just know. And there's just been much more of that for me. There's been probably the most wonderful part. It's just this constant and deeper sense of God's presence, of God's love, of being loved by Him, of being special because He loves me. I've had more insight into myself, more self-awareness of my hidden motives, of my dark forces, of unhealthy things that drive me. It just more instantly aware, hold on, you're about to say this because you're trying to impress people, or you're trying to do this because you're trying to exercise control in an unhealthy way now. And then similarly, I've had greater insight and discernment into other people and situations and what's really behind them. Basically a stronger intuition, and that certainly helped me a lot in business, and just generally more experiences with God. Just I remember when we climbed Mount Elbrus in Russia, and just going through nature on that mountain, I had some amazing encounters with God. There was a time I was just sitting looking at a glacier, and I was just moved to tears because I just got such a sense of His majesty and His beauty, and somehow also of His love for me. So the final thing, which is also probably subjective, but I've certainly felt more present to people. I can connect more deeply with people, and I'm more loving. Hopefully, maybe check that with my wife. So anyway, listen, those are some of the benefits. That's what I've discovered. That's been a bit about my journey. We're going to go on this adventure together. If you'd like to join, like to learn about this stuff. I quickly touch on three misconceptions, because maybe you're hearing this, you're saying, cool, Rob, but, you know. So let me firstly say this isn't, I grew up as a Christian being taught the following thing. Christian meditation is filling your mind with the scriptures. Eastern meditation is emptying your mind. If you empty your mind, the devil will get in. And for some reason, many Christians think that. Now, there's no question that one type of Christian meditation is filling your mind with the scripture, but there are many other types of Christian meditation where being in the spirit, being silent, is what the Lord wants. And I see no scriptural basis to say that if you empty your mind, or let's be clear, we're actually not emptying our minds here, we're just quietening our minds. Our minds are still attentive and aware, they're just not engaged in cognitive worrying and thought processing. So we're not emptying our minds, we're just quieting our minds. But there's no evidence or any indication in scripture that says that if you quiet your mind, the devil will get in. In fact, it's the opposite. The devil gets in through thinking. Evil takes heart in our lives when you sit and you go over that conflict you've got with someone, or you sit thinking about how you desperately need more money than that other person's got. That's how evil gets in. And so So that's just one misconception. I don't think you need to fear about that. In fact, when I was in South Africa last year, a pastor friend of mine said, what if I do this, isn't it like that I will accept wrong thoughts that might come to my mind? So let's say I'm doing this, and then the thought comes to me, I should divorce my wife and marry someone else. I'll be open to just accepting that. Absolutely not, because your sense of truth and what's right and wrong more deeply comes from your heart, from your conscience, not from your mind. If it comes from your mind, then that's not deep enough rooted in you. It's from that place where God dwells. And so I found a much greater sensitivity in my 2 years now of doing this to recognizing, something like I should divorce my wife and marry that other chick is obvious. But there are much more subtle things that come across, and I've more quickly in these times been able to identify and say, no, that's nonsense. That's right. That's not right. And so this makes you more spiritually aware, not less spiritually aware. It makes you more discerning, stronger in the time itself. This isn't like getting high. This isn't like taking a bunch of cocaine, not that I know. But you certainly don't lose any form of control or discernment or anything like that. And if anything, the presence of God just rises up within you so that you have greater resistance, not less resistance to stuff. So, folks, that's it. I hope some of you will enjoy following this journey with me. Certainly be amazing for me. And goodbye from my favorite garden in Houston.